The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Happy Feast of Christ the King, everyone. During the early 1900s, there was a civil war going on in Mexico. And the Mexican government was overrun by the Freemasons, and the Freemasons are said to have a vendetta against the Catholic Church. So in the early 1900s, the church in Mexico was very much persecuted. The government tried to get rid of religious freedom. There was a very anti-clerical, anti-priest mentality back then. And so in resistance to the actions of the government, a group was formed called the Cristeros. They were men who banded together to resist the religious persecutions that the government was putting on the people. And the battle cry of this Cristero movement in Mexico was, "Viva Cristo Rey," long live Christ the King. Last week we celebrated, it was the feast day of one of the Mexican martyrs, Miguel Agustin Pro. He was a Jesuit priest who would put on disguises, and you know, he would put on overalls and a mustache so that he would evade the Mexican government, so that he could go and minister to the people who needed a priest. He would celebrate Mass hidden, like in the catacombs, like in the early church, when the church is persecuted. And eventually he got caught, and they were about to execute him. He refused the blindfold, he refused to turn his back to his executioners, and he outstretched his arms. In one hand he had the crucifix, in the other hand he had the rosary, and right before they shot him, his last words were that battle cry, "Viva Cristo Rey." Another martyr from the Spanish Civil War was one who was just canonized by the Holy Father this year or last year, I can't remember, a young boy of 14 years old, Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio. Some of you may have heard of him. And he is a model for the many young men of our parish, our young people, because he took part in the Cristero movement at 14 years old, and it was his godfather who handed him over to be executed, and his godfather had promised him, no, if you renounce the faith, if you give over to the political other side, I promise you, I'll send you to a good military school in the United States. But he refused. And so they tortured him. His uncle handed him over to the soldiers of the government. And what they did was they tortured him, and they took a knife and slashed the underside of his feet. And they made him walk from where that happened to the cemetery. And there in the cemetery, they dug a shallow grave. But before they, it's a little graphic, but before they executed him. They stabbed him with a knife, I forget how many times, but with each stab wound, he cried out, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King. Until finally they shot him twice, and his last words were again, Viva Cristo Rey y viva la Virgen de Guadalupe, long live Christ the King and long live the Virgin of Guadalupe. Brothers and sisters, how do we cry out Viva Cristo Rey in our own lives? The Mexican martyrs made it their battle cry, but they also lived it. They made Jesus their king, and they made Jesus alive in their lives. They lived it to the point where they risked it all for their king. We must ask ourselves this question every day of our lives, not just on the feast of Christ the King, but every day of our lives. Is Christ really our King? Do we live with this in mind? Or is shopping, video games, our cell phones, our pride, our desire for wealth and pleasure, is food our King? You know, one of the things that really saddens me, we just celebrated Thanksgiving last Thursday, and one of the things that aggravates me is at 6 o'clock, these malls open. At 6 o'clock, you're supposed to be at home with your families giving thanks to God for the many blessings he's given you. And yet these people open these malls so that they can worship the God of consumerism, so that they can worship the God of materialism. As Christians, we cannot live like this. We have to live with Christ our King, not material possessions, not wealth, not pleasure, not food, nothing but Christ must be our King. What do we risk for the sake of Christ? Are we willing to lose a couple of hours on Sunday to make Jesus the King of the upcoming week, to make Jesus the King of our lives, to come to church to worship our King? Or do we roll out the red carpet to laziness, to sports, to games, practices, to a game on television? Sometimes we choose these things and other things over Christ. We enthrone these things in the place where Christ should be, here. We love things above God. We put things, people, situations, our pride, our anger, everything else before Christ. And we crown these things king of our lives because we let them dominate us. We let them rule us. Whereas Christ should have the center of our hearts. Let us make Jesus truly the King of our hearts as the martyrs did. This does not mean that we will have to die a martyr's death. We don't have to be shot or stabbed like Miguel Pro or Jose Sanchez. But it still does mean that if we live under the rule of Christ the King, some parts of us will have to die. And those parts are our ego, our pride, our selfishness, our prejudices, our sinfulness, because these things cannot form the kingdom of God here on earth. If we want to build the kingdom of Christ the King here on earth, if we want to spread his reign, we must get rid of these things and live according to the law of Christ, which is love. Our God reigns in three different places, and this is evidenced in the incarnation, in God becoming man, one of us. Our God reigns in humility, in suffering, and in love. Let's examine the life of Jesus now and see how he reigned in humility, in suffering, and in love. Jesus entered the world in the poorest of conditions, in a small cave. I was just there 2 weeks ago. I touched the very spot which, according to tradition, marks where Jesus was born of Mary. Our God reigns in humility. All his life was about humility. In the letter of Paul to the Philippians, what does it say? Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave. He came in human likeness. He became one like us. Our God reigns in humility. As Jesus was adored by the shepherd, a little baby, a little nothing really. You know, Herod must have thought that Jesus was some political figure that was going to come in a palace with all the incense, the bells, the smells, and the robes, and all that kind of stuff. Little did Herod expect that a king would be born in a little cave in the filthiest of conditions. And as the Magi, as the shepherd came and adored God in his littleness, God still should be adored in his littleness. In the Eucharist, in the sacred host that is his body, that is his blood, in children who are innocent, in those who are truly humble, God reigns. The second place where God reigns is in suffering. Our King has experienced almost, if not all, human suffering, if not even more. As Jesus wept for Jerusalem, we were there in the church of Dominus Flavit, which means the church of the tears of the Master, the crying Lord. There, Jesus wept for Jerusalem. He experienced sadness in his disappointment with the leaders of the religion of his time, with the Jewish people, in his disappointment with his own disciples. In Gethsemane, he suffered. And finally, on Calvary, Jesus suffered. Our God, our King, is one who suffers with and for his people. Our King is one with those who suffer. And therefore, God rules through the poor, through those who are despised, to those who are the outcast, who are the sick, and those who are dying. God is one with them, and he rules through them. Our God rules through love. Because as St. John puts it so clearly and so plainly in three words, God is love. Therefore, God reigns in and among us when we love one another. Our God reigns in humility, in suffering, and in love. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us realize and let us live, knowing that we have a King, a God, who is not far away from us. Our God is not distant from us. Our God is not a king who is robed in fancy robes and jewels. Our God is clothed in humility. Our God is not a king who is fanned with the birds, the big feathers of birds, or is fed with grapes, as is often seen. No. Our God is a king who is present to those who are in need. We have a king who understands us, and even more so, who loves us despite our disobediences, despite our weaknesses. Therefore, like the martyrs of Mexico, let our battle cry as we walk through life always be, Viva Cristo Rey. Amen.